This episode is brought to you by Scenario Planning for Urban Futures Certificate Course from Michigan Engineering Professional Education. May 14th through 16th in Ann Arbor, Michigan, or remotely. Learn more at ope.engin.umich.edu.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the APA Podcast. I'm your host, Dina Walters, Prioritize Equity Liaison for the American Planning Association. Joining me today are David Salazar and Dr. Annette Koh, who are laying the groundwork for the future of urban planning through youth engagement and community development. Mr. Salazar is the founder and executive director of the Long Beach Community Design Center in Long Beach, California, and is the first Latino fellow of the American Institute of Certified Planners in California. Dr. Koh is a lecturer in the Department of Urban and Regional Planning at Cal Poly Pomona. Together, Mr. Salazar and Dr. Koh founded the Youth Community Planners of Long Beach, a program designed to inspire and guide the next generation of urban planners. The program introduces high school students to the world of urban planning through workshops, partnerships with local institutions, and pathways to higher education. This innovative program equips students with tools to improve their neighborhoods and envision meaningful careers. Today, we'll have a conversation about this program and how it's empowering youth to take an active role in shaping their communities while inspiring them to consider careers in urban planning. Welcome, David. Welcome, Dr. Koh. Dr. Koh, I want to begin with you. How has your journey as an educator informed the development of Young Community Planners of Long Beach?
Thank you for that question. I'll say that one of the things that I think is, I don't know if it's unique about urban planning, but the fact that we are a profession that has, you know, so much breadth, so much influence on people's, you know, experience of their homes, their cities, and yet are kind of hidden behind the scenes. So when I first started teaching at Cal Poly Pomona, a lot of the undergraduates, said that they had no idea that urban planning existed until they started actually at Cal Poly Pomona. I think at the time, the majority were transfer students from community colleges. So they might have been an architecture major and perhaps applied to Cal Poly Pomona thinking that they would continue in architecture. Because there's not enough space in that major, they're told, well, you know, College of Environmental Design, there's an option called urban planning. It's sort of in the same realm, here you go. And so for the students who entered without any idea of urban planning, kind of seeing how excited they were, that they had, in some ways it's so much more ambitious than architecture, right? And I think for those who have a very strong orientation towards social justice, towards, you know, improving their communities, it was really exciting for them. And then I think realizing that, you know, it's not that they had to know about urban planning before they entered Cal Poly Pomona, but the opportunity for them, you know, to have thought even earlier about this particular field of action, I think was really exciting. And I think in addition to that, having been inspired by the work at the UC Berkeley's Center for Cities and Schools and their Youth Plan, Learn, Act Now methodology, kind of gave a template for how one might connect, you know, urban planning majors at a university with high school students or middle school students. And so I think that was really the genesis for me, was sort of seeing an opportunity to bring urban planning to young people in a much earlier stage of their lives, right? And sort of offer it as an option for those who, you know, feel the need, right, to make change, make improvements in their communities, but just didn't know that it existed.
Let's talk about when the program started. So this program began in the spring of 2022. David, can you talk to us about how the program has grown since then, and what do you hope for its future?
Yeah, so when we first started, it was, I would call it really kind of basic in its approach, right? We had an idea that we were going to work with the students at Cal Poly Pomona, the undergrad urban planning students. And we had an idea on the outreach, what would take place or what the venue would be. But we weren't quite sure. So it really was a partnership between Professor Koh, Cal Poly Pomona, the City of Long Beach Parks and Recreation, to identify the teen centers. So that's kind of where we started. And then we brought the students in and we gave the students the opportunity to create sort of a planning 101 type, you know, approach, right? And the workshops that we had, you know, it wasn't like a semester long experience for the teen center youth. It was basically two workshops plus a campus visit. So that's kind of how it started. And as it grew, we got more sophisticated in terms of the approach, what we should be conducting or what we should be talking to the students about. We incorporated walks around the camp, around the teen centers to sort of look at the existing environment, ask them to sort of come up with ideas in terms of improving things that they identified, you know, that were kind of negative in the environment. So it sort of took on that life afterwards. The campus visits were always a component of it. And based on the populations that we serve, that was an important piece because a lot of those students, you know, it was really the first time they ever stepped foot on a university campus. And we wanted to give them that orientation in addition to having the interaction with the students. As far as how it grew or where it is now, it's almost like, you know, I don't know how to describe it. And it's all positive. It's almost like five generations of improvement in a period of 3 years, you know. So now we out of this idea, and it kind of gets back to sort of how planners kind of think and what they want to do in terms of making an impact in their work, is that now we created a pipeline, right? Where before it was, you know, we're exposing young people at the teen centers, right? But it was very, you know, it is not superficial, but it was very just, you know, elementary and sort of that approach, right? Now we've created a pipeline where we can say to those same students, if you're really interested in pursuing a career in urban planning, you can go to Long Beach City College and you can take classes. We created an associate's degree of urban planning at the community college now. And if after you're done, we created a way to transfer directly into Cal Poly Pomona and through an articulation agreement, and they'll be able to go after 2 years and then pursue their undergrad degree. So that was the formalized pipeline that was not there at all in the beginning. And now we have that formalized in a way that it's a direct line between their interest and then ultimately receiving a undergrad degree. And then to sort of kind of cap off that experience, now going back to the city and the workforce development department, we were able to create internships for students that are actually in school, right? So they could be either at Long Beach City or at Cal Poly Pomona. And we have direct, we're paying them like $22 an hour and then placing them at various agencies in the city. So they're at they're in city government, in the planning department, they're at nonprofit organizations, they're at architectural firms, they're at Caltrans, they're at Pacific Gateway, which is a COG. So we're trying to give them a whole breadth of experience. So so to answer your question, it's grown like, you know, tenfold from the original idea.
Dr. Koh, can you tell us what a typical session or workshop looks like in this program?
Sure. I think in some ways there isn't a typical session because each year is a new set of Cal Poly Pomona students. And I guess I should mention that these are undergraduate students. I think Cal Poly Pomona is unusual for having a full undergraduate major. And, you know, a lot of universities that have urban planning departments often only offer graduate degrees. So for the undergraduates, they're fired up. They're excited. They've learned a lot of the tools and concepts and lingo of urban planning, and having them then try to figure out how do you then convey that right to high school students in a way that is both engaging, but also not condescending, right? So I think, you know, David said that it was planning 101. And I think that was really, I think, the trick. So every year, you know, we obviously tell the Cal Poly Pomona students, you know, these are the things that have worked. Like, remember that they're coming in straight from, you know, a full day of school at high school. They don't want more school, right? So, you know, undergraduates used to doing presentations, right? Like, they have all the lingo down. They want to talk about walkability, right? They want to talk about environmental justice, but they also need to remember that these are concepts that make sense to them now as majors, but aren't necessarily familiar terms to the high school students. So I think this is something that has been, I guess, to kind of preview the next question, is like a challenge every year, is to figure out how to, I guess, like convey a field of kind of action and that terminology and some of those tools, right? Like using, you know, data from, you know, what's it, the Maps for Neighborhood Change that's out of USC, or using data from UC Berkeley's Transportation Injury Mapping System, right? And then having that, you know, the undergraduates bringing that to the high school students. So I guess to back up, one of the things that's really critical is having more hands-on activities. And so I think the, you know, each year the Cal Poly students, I think, are inspired by some of the experiences they've had in the classroom. So folks who have had an opportunity to take a class and go to James Rojas Place It workshop, right? Like, this is fabulous. Like, we definitely need to bring this to the high school students, to the youth. Or perhaps, you know, they've done a walk audit, right? And it was like, eye-opening to think about, you know, okay, not just, you know, walking to school and feeling afraid that this one intersection, right, there isn't a protected crosswalk, so then, like, how do I get across it safely? You know, walking around with a youth, thinking about, well, you know, if you take the bus, is there a bus shelter, right? If it's, you know, 95 degrees outside, is there shade? And then also just bringing their own spin to it. The very first year we did the workshops in spring 2022, one of the sites in Central Long Beach, two of the Cal Poly students were Minecraft like fanatics, right? So they ended up, and I think, you know, David can share how it actually looked. I was at the other site. They did a whole like activity using Minecraft as a way of redesigning, I think, like the most dangerous intersection in between Poly High School and the Teen Center. So I think that's sort of the trick, is like we want to bring our, I guess, experience and our kind of our insights, having done this for a few years now, but we also want to make sure that we capitalize on the Cal Poly Pomona students' enthusiasm, their interests, right? Like, and, you know, keeping in mind that they're much closer to the youth than we are. Right? So they're much more likely, I think, in certain ways to understand how to engage the youth. In other ways, I think they, you know, haven't had the opportunity to try to explain what urban planning is to a non-planning audience, right? Like, they always talk about how their parents are still very confused what they are majoring in, right? and so trying to figure out, like, well, how do we explain what this is? Like, how do we make sure that, you know, when we're talking about placemaking, right? Like, I think sometimes the youth are like, yeah, there's places. Like, what do you mean placemaking? Right? So figuring that out, I think, is always a challenge every year, because they're like, you know, their training in the department as majors is to become urban planning professionals. And in order to be effective in engaging the youth, they have to kind of strip away that professional mindset and come back to, what was I like in high school, right? How would I explain this to my cousin?
What other recommendations, in addition to what you've already stated, would you offer to educators who are interested in tailoring urban planning workshops and activities that specifically resonate with high school students?
One thing that comes to mind is to, and we say this all the time, that like lived experience is so critical, right? That like as we, you know, city planners or, you know, planners in the public or private sector, you know, yes, we have the expertise, but, you know, the community, right? Residents have the lived experience. So I think for me, I was really impressed and a little bit humbled by how knowledgeable the high school students were. And I think bringing it down to earth for them, right? So showing them a map of asthma rates in North Long Beach. And one student was like, oh yeah, that's the 710, right? Like they're like naming the freeways. Like they can clearly see the corridors of pollution, right? So they may not have, the specific lingo, and they may not have access to the, you know, the data per se, but they have that knowledge, right? The youth have that knowledge. And so I think just figuring out a way to make it concrete, right? It's the kind of like the abstract concepts of planning are available to them as long as it's like clearly linked to their lived experience where they actually have the expertise, right? You know, they know, like you show them an intersection by their high school and then they have like lots of opinions about every single aspect of the intersection, right? Like they know that that particular bush in like, you know, spring covers the stop sign, right? So I think that was the realization for me is that like, we both have to try really hard as educators, as, you know, urban planning majors to link what we know to what they know, but also keep in mind that they already know so much, right? They really do know so much. And so it's a two-way street, right? I guess that's the other piece of it is that don't think that we're just imparting planning knowledge on from high. but that we were really learning, you know, just as much, if not more, from the youth than, you know, as much as, you know, we're trying to introduce to them.
Have there been any unexpected challenges that either of you have encountered and overcome in creating and progressing this program forward?
I know that Annie had one related to one of the workshops in Houghton Park, which is in the northern part of the city. Maybe you can describe that, Annie.
Sure. So, you know, one thing is, you know, where is the workshop located? Who's your host? So we're incredibly lucky to partner with Long Beach Parks and Rec, right? And they have teen centers. Those staff have relationships with the teens, right? Like they're in some cases, like literally dragging in the youth into our workshops. But that also means that we're located in, you know, a particular park, and a particular park may experience particular challenges. So the very first workshop we ever held, and again, you know, David was down in Central Long Beach, I was in North Long Beach. There had been a shooting in the park the day before. And so we had zero youth come in. And I think that's totally reasonable, right? But it was, you know, definitely a letdown, a disappointment for the undergraduates, right? They had prepared so much, right? They were so excited. And then no one came, right? And I think that's a lesson for any community planner, right? Just because you have an event, it doesn't mean that people will show up. And so thinking about that component, right? Like, well, how are we getting youth in the door, right? If it's not part of their school day, right? Where they're already obligated to be in the classroom, how are we getting them in the door? And then what are some of the barriers for them to actually be there? And then not take it personally. And so that was, I think, one surprise for us, and you know, really like literally out of our hands. But also then like, how do you roll with that, right? So if, you know, we had planned to do a bunch of activities that first workshop, no one shows up, then how do we compress, you know, what we wanted to do from two workshops into one?
Learn how to build a resilient community with the 3-day Scenario Planning for Urban Futures certificate course from Michigan Engineering Professional Education. This course will run May 14th through 16th in person in Ann Arbor, Michigan, or remotely. Sign up and strengthen your urban planning skills. Learn more at ope.engin.umich.edu.
For planners who are interested in developing a similar youth program for urban planning in their communities, what would you both say are essential steps that they must take?
I can start. I think from my standpoint in being a practitioner and then, basically leading the nonprofit, I think the idea about, just the need, to talk to young people about planning, what that's all about. And then in addition to that, offering them the possibility of, pursuing that through an academic career, right? Or an academic degree. And then the other piece is the recipe for success for me has been partnerships, right? So whoever is, wants to work in their community related to this, whether working in city government or in private sector or whatever, find partners, willing partners, not just partners, but, aligning missions, right, with different institutions, whether it be city government or other nonprofits, foundations, other groups that work with young people. I think that's key because my experience so far has been that when I talk about the program and I talk about what we're trying to accomplish and working with youth, everybody's just like 100% behind it, right? I mean, it's almost like when you talk about assisting youth or helping youth or mentoring youth, it's kind of like there's no like negativity related to that. It's a matter of now just, putting together a program, fashioning a program that will serve the needs, right? Urban planning, talking to youth, talking about, the importance of urban planning in their communities, and then creating that program.
I think I could add a little bit to that. And one of the things, David is talking about the importance of partnership and finding, enthusiastic partners. And we were really lucky. I will be honest. we had started talking about this, August of 2021. And I was all in. I had my studio class. We're talking about we're going to do this thing in Long Beach. And until early December, we did not have a site for the workshops, right? We were looking, trying to contact, teachers in the school district. And then I'm not even sure how we got connected with the Parks and Rec, David. I don't know if you remember, but they were thrilled. And part of it was that the city had just gone through a youth strategic plan. And it was really important to the city to be able to offer, more meaningful, areas of action and engagement for young people in the city. And young people in the city had already led that, right? They said, why are we spending all this money on policing and not that much money on actually investing in youth, the future of youth, right? So they had created a new Office of Youth Development in the city. Simultaneously, the Parks and Rec Department was going through and maybe had just completed their strategic planning process. So they had this whole thing about park equity, right? So that, when they requested certain sites in the city, it was very much in line with, okay, well, these are, the areas that are park, underserved by parks. They also at the teen centers were putting together a program that would, really push forward, I think the idea was preparing youth for career in college, right? What we were trying to do, I don't think we had necessarily thought of that. At least I hadn't thought of it quite in those terms at that point. But they're this is both a career and a college pathway, right? This is fantastic. Hence the request to do a campus visit, right? Hence, they were can you show them some of the, fun things about being an urban planner, right? Some of the tools of being an urban planner. And so I think, I feel so like we were so lucky that we were able to work with, you know, the city of Long Beach at this juncture where they had decided that they needed all of these things and our little program like fulfilled a whole bunch of them, right? I mean, it was, we started very small. I think that's the other kind of keys. Like we really were thinking like, okay, what's the smallest thing we can do, especially given the compressed time frame. And so I think, you know, I know that a lot of cities, you know, will have similar kind of opportunities where they have a goal, right? They've sort of like gone through a strategic planning process for, you know, some component of the city. And then they're kind of like, well, how do we actually do this, right? So I think in some ways, you know, we swooped in at this prime moment where they're like, great, you can help us do this.
Yeah. And can I add something to that? You know, from a planning perspective, it was almost that, and this was nothing that we had anything to do with. I mean, we weren't at the front end of that strategic plan. They were doing that already, right? So they set the stage for us in a way, and they were just looking for someone to help them implement it. They and a nonprofit, you know, fit that bill pretty well, and a connection with an academic institution, right? At that time, Cal Poly. Now, Long Beach City College is involved now too. But so it was all good, right? It aligned really well, and it was a timing issue, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think, you know, the Cal Poly Pomona students, you know, after I think, you know, the workshops were over, they're like they asked us so many questions about Cal Poly Pomona. They asked us like why we decided to go there, right? I mean, you know, a lot of what the youth were interested in wasn't necessarily like planning per se, right? But it was access to a whole bunch of undergraduates and just wanting to know, well, like, why did you go to college and why did you choose this? And, you know, like, tell us more and how much does it cost? And do you live on campus? And, oh, you transferred? Where did you transfer from? And so I think that was the piece too, is like knowing that maybe our priority kind of goals weren't going to be in the same order, right, as our partners, but they were all in alignment, right? So like to be supportive, right? And not just say, oh, no, like we're only going to focus on urban planning. It's like, no, like you want a bunch of undergraduates to hang out with a bunch of high school students and talk about college? Sure. Like we are thrilled to do that. And that's actually incredibly useful for our undergraduates as well.
I want to talk more about this opportunity to pursue urban planning as a career and as a major in college. David, you touched on this earlier, but I just want to talk more in detail about the advancement opportunities these students may have through the program into college, into pursuing this as a career potentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. An update based on what I described earlier, our focus up to date has been at the teen centers, right? So there's about three or four teen centers that we've been working with. And some of them, you know, we just kind of replaced one with another and try to cover as much territory in the north and the western part of the city. But they're all based on the students coming from an adjacent high school and then hanging out at the teen center. And that's kind of been our demographic, right? But one thing, I think after the first year or two, Annie and I, you know, started talking, we're thinking, we got to penetrate the high school. We got to get into the high school and get into the classroom, right? So, and it was the idea, but in the same time, we were moving forward with the teen centers, right? So it took us a little while to sort of figure out who we needed to talk to and at the school district. And just like any bureaucracy, it's giant, right? You know, talk to this person, talk to that person, that, you know, that kind of thing. And eventually we found out that the high schools had, you know, designated pathways. And these pathways related to, you know, the arts and becoming a police officer and, you know, going into science and a whole variety of pathways, right? I think there's like maybe like 9 pathways total. So once we found out the pathway part, we said, you know, let's start engaging them and say, let's pilot it in the actual high school, right? Not giving up on the teen center, but actually, you know, because the population would expand tremendously, right? It's not just who shows up at the teen center. We're actually in the school, right? And there's classes related to sort of planning. So the closest one that we were able to identify was architecture. So we're right now we're talking with one of the high schools in the city, McBride, and we're going to pilot a program there. And we're going to sort of do a hybrid with architecture and urban planning and design, right? And some of the students are really interested in heat island effect, like the heat island effect. So that's a way for us to sort of introduce urban planning and talk about it in that urban sort of context. And so once this takes place, then there'll be multiple, I predict there'll be other high schools that we can sort of, you know, offer that same program. Will we abandon the teen centers? I don't know. That's an open discussion, right? But the idea to sort of complete that pipeline and have it start K through 12, community college, four-year institution, with the additional internship program, and with the idea that they would be, you know, viable candidates for employment afterwards. So the pipeline, in a sense, would be completed at the front end with the K through 12.
I know this program has only been active for a couple of years now, almost 3 years. But do you know of any students who have let you know that they do plan to pursue this as an opportunity?
So we weren't able to track the students that we were engaging at the teen centers, right? We weren't that sophisticated. We probably should have found a way to track them, say, hey, where are you going? But some of them, I was, you know, just talking to them on my own. Some of them wanted to major in, you know, business, agriculture, other things, right? But as far as tracking the students now that are entering the community college, this in the fall, this is the first year that the program got started. So we're definitely going to track them now, right? And then see how far they, you know, it takes for them to get through the pipeline. The other piece of this is that at the community college level, we want, you know, we wanted the high schools to be like the marketing tool, right? To get to the students in the high school and say, you know, you can go to Long Beach City College virtually for free and have that be the ability, you know, have that sort of be the first wave into the program and then ultimately into the pipeline. But we definitely will be tracking them going forward.
And I think if I remember correctly, David, last year at Houghton, I had I want to say they were like in their senior year of high school, and they had attended, I think, a previous workshop. It might have been at the Teen Center, or it might have been one that the Long Beach Community Design Center had hosted at one of the local libraries. And they were so enthusiastic about planning. And they were like, when is Mr. Salazar going to come, you know, to this teen center? I really want to talk to him and say that, you know, the workshop inspired me so much. So I, again, you know, I don't think I even remember that young woman's name, but they were just like jazzed, right? Like they just had like had, you know, so much kind of possibility, I guess, like, you know, sort of open up in their mind. And so I don't know if they're actually going to pursue urban planning. But I think that's the other piece of it is that, you know, for a lot of folks, they don't need to have the major urban planning, or they don't need to like go and get a planning degree per se, to have kind of that role and that knowledge, right, of urban planning, make them more effective in their communities. So I think that's, you know, maybe, you know, given that, you know, APA, I'm like, I'm okay if they don't become planners, as long as they bring all of that enthusiasm and knowledge into the communities with them.
Yeah. And that's super important because, you know, we realize that a lot of these students aren't going to pursue a degree, right? Or a career in planning, but to have them at least knowledgeable so they can engage civically in their community and understand sort of how some of these decisions are being made and influence at a different level in a different way, right? Not from a planning sort of degree perspective.
You both have spoken about the enormous support that the city has offered. And the partnership with the city, especially with the Parks and Rec Department. But can you speak more about how you create buy-in at the city level and the nonprofit level and even navigate changes in city leadership?
Yeah, I can start with that. So this is all sort of a combination of a whole bunch of things, right? But I knew higher ed, right? Because I worked in higher ed my whole career, almost 30 years as an administrator. So I knew the system of higher ed and how decisions get made. I also work in city government, so I had an idea in politics, right? So I had an idea how that works. And then I also had partnerships with both friendly partnerships and working partnerships with architectural firms, engineering firms, planning firms, all that, right? So I had sort of all this in my sort of bailiwick, right? So when it came time to sort of put this together, I sort of just activated all that knowledge and all that expertise and all those contacts, right? And so whether I was talking to city government, you know, doing my pitch, you know, about the program and what it meant and for them to buy in, I did it basically all the way around. I had a relationship, obviously, with Cal Poly Pomona because I went to school there. But I knew the dean and I knew the department chair and all that. So it wasn't just a cold call. It wasn't just like some person saying, hey, I have this idea to do this. They knew me already and all that. So I think part of it is a level of trust and a level of sort of a relationship that you have, right? And if you didn't have, if I don't have the relationship, then I find other people that do, and then an introduction and all that. So there's a lot of the kind of interpersonal stuff that goes on to put something together like this, but also you have to be perceived as, okay, this person knows what they're doing and this sounds like a great idea. How do we work with this person, right? Or how do we work with this institution or this organization? That's kind of the secret sauce, I think.
Yeah, to build on that, I think, you know, without David's deep knowledge and deep Rolodex, I don't know if that's even a useful metaphor in 2025, this would have been impossible, right? But also, I think something that was just fabulous was that, you know, when Parks and Rec came on board, it was one particular staff member and they connected us to other staff members. And then, you know, that first staff person kind of like took a step back. And then like one of the ones who, you know, I would have thought of, for lack of a better word, as like lower level, just was like so enthusiastic about the program. And so just became our kind of point person, you know, since then, right? They're located at a particular teen center, but they're like, oh yeah, I know of this teen center and that teen center. And I'm going to, you know, connect you to all of these other teen centers. And I'll make sure that, you know, we connect with the people at the, you know, PR department in the, you know, at the city. So, you know, also figuring out that your champion doesn't necessarily have to be the most powerful person. They just have to be in that right leverage point to make things happen. Right. So we were very, very lucky that we found two of those people twice. Right. And I think the other piece of that, and this is speaking not from this particular program, from Young Community Planners of Long Beach, but my very first year at Cal Poly, when I started in 2018 and 2019, I was trying to do this thing on my own. So I reached out to a geography teacher at a high school that was like, I don't know, like 15-minute drive from campus. They were excited because they were, I mean, this is like plugging into things that people already have. So they had a civics project that was like mandatory, right, for the students. And I was like, hey, I can help you with that. And they're like, yes, that's awesome. And they're like, you know, the principal's on board, let's just like, you know, meet with them. And then I had to negotiate an MOU between the university and a school district. And it took so long. I thought we were going to be in the school by late February. We didn't get there into the high school. We didn't get there until early April, right? And then it was a one-off, right? Because I didn't have that network. I didn't have those relationships. Like, they were enthusiastic, but, you know, everyone kind of has their own I have to do. And so what we were doing was sort of a nice to do. And then I think that one teacher actually went out on parental leave, right? So realizing like the difference between when I try to do this sort of as a, like, I'm just going to cold call somebody versus being able to, you know, work with David and Long Beach Community Design Center, you know, and having that deep, expertise slash like, you know, network in Long Beach has been so vastly different. I mean, even the fact that, you know, David's been like chipping away at the behemoth bureaucracy of the school district. I mean, this is our let's say 2, 2, 3, 4. This is our fourth year of doing this, right? So it is in year four that the school district was like, this is fabulous, let's do it, right? And I think in previous years, they're like, oh, that sounds nice. Or a teacher would be like, that's great. But there wasn't, I think, the enthusiasm, right? But now we've been around for 4 years, right? Now they've seen David kind of working with this city college, right? Like creating this pipeline, having it paid internships through the city. So I think that longevity, or I don't even know what the right word is, but, you know, really that persistence and that, you know, consistent presence, maybe that's the right word, is so critical, because I wouldn't be able to do that at all, right? I'm in traffic, like a 90-minute drive away, right? I don't have those relationships. I'm, you know, doing it within the confines of a school year, a school semester. And so I think that's been critical, that, you know, universities often have service learning. They often have, you know, they always have studio classes. But the time frame for that isn't the time frame to build relationships and trust, and to show that you're going to stick around in the same way. Especially, I think, for, you know, for a lecturer like me, you know, I mean, I'm full on, I'm committed to Cal Poly Pomona, but I think having that buy-in requires someone like David to be there. And, you know, obviously, you know, the university is thrilled. Our dean of the college is thrilled, right? I think Dean Akers joined David at APA California. Is that right? So it's not that the university isn't behind it, but we have our own preoccupations, right? So we can't be the actual prime mover and shaker, I think, in this kind of program.
Are there ways that listeners can support or even get involved with this program?
Yeah, well, they can contact me through, you know, the website and all that. And I can, you know, provide any information in terms of how, you know, to get started with something like this. And I'd be more than happy to talk to folks about it. Part of what we intended from day one, especially on creating the pipeline, is that it could be duplicated, it could be replicated and customized, right? It's not one size fits all, but the spirit of it, right? Engaging youth, talking about planning, create a career path, et cetera, that's what it's all about. And we did do a conference presentation this past year in Riverside for our CAL conference, and the dean was there. We had representation from Long Beach City. I was there. And we talked about this whole concept about duplicating it in the state of California, and finding out ways to sort of move it up to Northern California, Central California, Southern California. So, yeah, I'll be the Johnny Appleseed, I guess, of the pipeline here in California.
Those were all my questions. I want to thank you both so much. This has been wonderful. And is there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap this up?
I'll start. I think, you know, speaking philosophically, I guess, for a bit, and not so much like as a planner, but I think from the community side, it's super important to bring planning as a field, as a tool to improve the quality of life in those communities. And our focus has been 100% in underserved communities, right? So stripping away all the technicality related to planning and how we describe sort of our world and our work from a community standpoint, they need tools like that to move forward, to advance, to create capital, you know, in their communities in order to sort of plain and simple, just improve the quality of life. And I think to me that's the overarching philosophical sort of, you know, mission, so to speak.
And I guess maybe as a corollary to that, this is maybe being selfish, thinking about the planning profession and what it has to benefit from, you know, this or similar. You know, one is that I think obviously planning is improved when you have young people involved. Sure, they don't have the lingo. Sure, they may be a little bit unrealistic, but they also have the most at stake, right? We talk about like, you know, skin in the game, and people are like, I'm a homeowner and taxpayer. I'm like, these kids are going to be in this world for the longest, right? Like, we need to be planning with them and for them. So just from like a strict, like kind of good planning, as well as like equitable planning, you know, youth need to be involved at like, period, right? It's not like a cute photo op is absolutely essential. And then I also think that even thinking beyond that, they're a little bit of a, like they're the bridge as well, right? So if you think about, you know, a lot of them are children of immigrants, if not immigrants themselves, right? You know, a lot of them are coming from, you know, low-income homes, right? So these are not folks who are showing up to our planning meetings. Right? These are not folks who are actually engaged in the process yet. And it doesn't mean that we should expect them to show up, right, to, you know, City Hall all the time. But having a way to connect, you know, people who have so much at stake to the process, right, to the institution and this field of action, I think is really critical and will improve us. And, you know, as well as I think what David was talking about is that it's essential for the community members and to have these tools, to have these, to have this access.
David, are there ways that we can get in touch with you to obtain any additional information about this wonderful program?
Sure. They can visit the Design Center through the website. That's lbcdesign.org, or they can contact me through email, info@lbcdesign.org.
Dr. Koh, David, thank you so much again for joining me. This has been a wonderful conversation, and I wish you well as you continue to advance this really important program. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the APA Podcast. To hear more episodes, visit us at planning.org/podcast. You can also subscribe to the APA Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Overcast, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode was brought to you by Scenario Planning for Urban Futures Certificate Course from Michigan Engineering Professional Education, May 14th through 16th in Ann Arbor, Michigan, or remotely. To learn more, visit ope.engin.umich.edu.